Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. This episode we have Dorseyism, the absolute gift and treasure of the insane, nonsensical, random quotes uttered by Dorsey Schrader throughout his years working for Fox and Speed as a commentator in the America Le Mans series, Grand Am, IMSA, Grand Am Cup, what today is the Continental Tire Series, probably the Conti Series itself, Pirelli World Challenge, you name it. Dorsey, who called sports car races for a couple decades, there's one guarantee on every episode. There was always going to be at least one thing that came out of his mouth where you just shook your head and said, "Where'd you come up with that?" And so knowing this, Dorsey just became he's an absolute treasure and always has been, but among his friends and colleagues in the booth, producers and such, people just started writing them down and compiling a list. And the great sports car producer, Rick Ratajak, Rick the Rat, he has a spreadsheet that is pure gold. And so knowing that I was going to be doing a podcast with Dorsey earlier in the year, Rick sent along his treasure, this spreadsheet of Dorseyisms. I printed it out. It's nine, no joke, nine pages long. And they're just him. I mean, this Missouri madman, this is absolutely 100% Dorsey and who he is, saying whatever comes to his mind, even though, and it might not make sense, but that was a lot of fun when it came to listening to Dorsey on a broadcast. And the best part is these are read by Dorsey, plus some of the other ones that were uttered by his colleagues and friends in the booth or on pit lane. I guess a little bit like a disease, the Dorseyisms started to creep into others. So it could have been Diffie, could have been Till, could have been Bob Varsha, Chris Neville. Getting something wrong just became that. Though anytime you did something wrong, that was a Dorseyism. Calvin Fish referred to Joao Barbosa as Joalbo. Cal also referred to Hugh, H-U-G-H, Plum, as Huge Plum. There's a hairy move by Balls On. You know, again, this just Dorsey. Infectious personality, and those Dorseyisms certainly are just a treasure trove, thanks to Rick. So that's what we have here. I hope that you enjoy them, like everything, but this is our man. You get every episode of the Marshall Pruitt Podcast on iTunes, on Podbean, on our Marshall Pruitt Podcast Facebook page, and on my MarshallPruitt.com website. And with all that said, off we go with Dorseyisms.
Now, I'm sure you've probably been privy to seeing this list. You these are your words.
Yep.
So I highlighted some of my favorites. I was going to read them off and ask for a reaction, but I'm actually thinking we might be better served if we hear them spoken again by you, and maybe you can give us some context or where some of these came from.
But totally unridiculous. That was what that one was. I don't know how I got that. It was a combination of two words, which was probably going to be unreal and ridiculous. Something that happened on the racetrack turned into unridiculous. Or it could have been this next one, which is where a guy, for no reason whatsoever, spun his car out, and I saw it, he spun in his own ignorance, because it was quite obvious once the spin occurred that he was totally not able to figure out what to do about
Absolutely.
It. It just happened. Now, this was my favorite all the time. When we always say things at the beginning of a show to lighten the moment when you're going up live and all that. And so we'd get in these 24-hour races back in the day when we actually covered 24-hour races.
Yes.
Nonstop through the whole thing. And so there's all this hoopla building up to like a Le Mans, you know, and there should be, but it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. And I'm thinking, this is a 24-hour race. And so I started to come up with, like, we're not going to get this race finished if we don't get it started. You know, so if you guys just keep, you know, waxing poetic for the rest of your damn lives, we're going to be here forever.
Yes.
You know? So, this is a good, I still do this today. I get up once a day at least. I was trying to explain.
And can I just share with folks the joy on your face right now looking at the Dorseyisms here? I mean, there's no one else, brother, that has a list of accomplished statements, words you've made up, and sentences.
Well, you got to have fun. I mean, that's one of the things, no matter what you do in life, whether it's racing or it's television or whatever it is, you got to find the humor in things, and you got to have fun. And I think Lime Rock, there was a driver that I had a technical talk to about the nuances of that place, because I was really good there teaching there all those years. So it didn't work well, what he was doing on the racetrack. And I said that he wasn't taking advantage of what I didn't tell him. Because I started that thinking he's not taking advantage of what I told him, but then I realized I hadn't told him that yet.
Oh.
So I said he wasn't taking advantage of what I didn't tell him.
I mean, I couldn't. I'm a writer, and I couldn't come up with this stuff, Doris.
And it just pops out. You know, Patrick Long and Bill Arberlin were having a big fight at Road Atlanta for one of the Petit Le Mans, and Bill got into Pat a little bit somewhere, and I said that Pat Long owes Bill Arberlin a little kiss on the rear, not knowing exactly, you know, the way it sounded.
At which point someone's coming through your ear on the set going, Schrader, what the hell did you just say?
I don't remember at Barber Park how I ended up saying the tight area of your britches. Had to do something. Now, this is true. I tell drivers this. You can pass a lot of cars if you don't intend at turning at the corner. One of those deals where guys, you just don't know why, but they just drive down into the corner underneath three cars and just don't turn. It just goes straight on and pass the whole field. And you can do that as long as you don't want to turn. You know, you can do that.
Or finish.
Now, this happens to people a lot, too. This driver, he thought he was crashing on the right, but he was crashing on the left. that happens, too. And this is when you have that horsepower advantage that Mr. Roush used to give me sometimes. That I said, the straight is where he's doing his best driving. Now, Miller Motorsports Park, that first year we ran out there in Tooele, Utah, it's such a surreal surrounding. You're out in this desert.
Beautiful.
These beautiful mountains all the way around you. And the sun's going down, and we were doing a 24-hour race. It wasn't 24 hours. It was a race that was going into the night. And then when I broadcast with Brian Till, I always try to get him laughing about something. And I looked up at the mountains, and it was really weird where the sun was setting and stuff like that. And we were at a really boring part of the race where nothing was going on, which happens in endurance racing.
Of course.
Sometimes. So I said, you know, Brian, this is the time when the spider monkeys come down. And he goes, what? I said, this is the time when the spider monkeys come down out of the mountains. And I said, and you got to watch your stuff sitting around here, you know. And he's like, what? So I get them going every once in a while. This is a typical Dorseyism. I remember these are the one Calvin likes when I say things like these. And I didn't say this on purpose. This is a 3-hour timed race, right? No mileage limit, just 3 hours. And I said, somewhere in the broadcast, I said, I didn't expect this race to run this long. And then the two guys sit next to you like,
what?
What? What is that? I remember this was at Barber. Kelly Collins, and he used to run with her. We used to call him Kel Dog. Great guy. Everybody loved him. And Nick Ham. We called Ham the hamster. And so I said, Kel Dog right now realizes that he needs to step it up and try to take a bite out of the hamster.
Which to someone just turning on the TV and standing there going, what the hell are they talking about?
This was another one that's a typical. This is a Dorseyism that's typical. You drop down into a valley where you lose grip on two sides of the corner. Where that came from, who knows. Charge of sparks at night, that was good. Now, these things go on and on. And there's so many, sometimes cars spin out for no reason. You look at the car coming to the corner and you judge its speed and it's not going too fast. And the car's online and it's not, the front's not high, the back's not low, it's not leaning too much. And it just spins out for no reason. And I said, there's a disturbance in the gravitational pull in that turn 10 today. And that's all it can be. I don't know who got super impregnated, but.
That's another great one.
Wet water.
Wet water was
that was supposed
one.
To be water wetter, I think,
yeah,
which is a product.
Yeah, I think so.
How different so many things are for being so much the same. That's a good statement. I always figured if you made up words, why can't I wake me? If I can make the word up, and I know what it means, its definition, and I can spell it, I'm just as good as Webster. He's got all kind of things that people believe in. Conflictions. If you have too many conflicts in a row, it's conflictions. Which makes perfect sense. This was Miller again. That mountain range.
Yep.
It gets occluded sometimes with that fog or whatever that is up there. So I said, that's where the mountain range is. Oh, where it was. Still is, I guess, but you can't see it. But I can. I don't know if you've ever done this, but you start into a comment, and in the middle of it, you stumble on a word.
Absolutely.
You're looking for a word. And you had it, but you not can't
and
you can't retrieve
gone.
It.
Yeah.
And so you lock
and get
up.
It back.
So I said, too small a space. No, a place. Place a place. Space and time. Whatever. Wow, this is true. Once you hit it, you're airborne, and the brakes don't work in the air. I know that one.
And don't you love Rick Ratt for compiling this?
Rick could give you the chink over there in the corner. Rick Ratt would sit there, and he said, that's going on the list. Nobody's going to see this till it's on TV. That's true. I can't speak English very legibly. That's one of those lockups. You can see them as clear as day at night. Optical delusion. Now, those happen,
an
too.
An optical delusion.
I get those. That could be part of my past. I'm not sure.
They go on and on. We got, all right. I think we're almost. Oh, yeah.
The great thing was that the people I work with got used to the fact that, you know, those things just are regular with me. They come out that way.
Oh, we've got a couple of. We got a good name here that you came up. You modified someone's.
Spencer Pumpeller?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think he's the boat racing expert.
We used to, everybody used to get names wrong all the time. We'd write him down. Frito Autosports?
Yes, the Freedom guys.
That was a Brian Tilton.
Those are good chips.
Yep. Oh, man. A bomb dive?
Yes. That's worse than a dive bomb, I believe.
That's Lee Diffie said that one. This is a Chris Neville that was good. Since the last caution, we have been green all the way. Yeah, I get it. Here's another Chris Neville. The good news is he doesn't have any brain damages of yet. Oh, man. So all of us, what we used to call the Fab Five, we really, really had a great time together.
Magic. It was pure
magic. It was a magic bunch of guys. It was, you know, Brian Till and myself and Calvin Fish and Lee Diffie and Chris Neville. And with the exception of Lee Diffie, who's a natural at what he does, the rest of us all raced against or with each other for many, many years. Calvin and I, probably the longest, and Brian too for that matter. But we spent 35 years of our lives as brothers
absolutely
doing the same thing, and we progressed at the same levels. And so when these things happened on air, not everybody got them, but we did. it's made the magic.
And that's what I love about this list that Rick has kept. So you have yours, and admittedly and proudly, five of the eight pages belong to you, the Dorseyisms, but we have some contributions from this Magic Five. You were kind enough to share a couple. I'm going to share a couple more here. Chris Neville, this is one of the great ones. I don't think there's a harder guy who works in pit lane. We don't want to know how he knew that, but we will take him. Cal, our friend Calvin Fish, he wanted to want to give a shit out.
Yeah.
Shit. Shout out to Duncan Dayton. That was at Mosport.
That actually made Howard Stern, on the opening of Howard Stern, on his opening run, that was on there for years.
I want to give Duncan Dayton a shit out. All right. Our dear friend Bob Varsha referred to his colleague Calvin Till.
I remember Bob, who takes life so seriously most of the time. You know, he's really a serious broadcaster. And so we were at Indy doing something, and he was talking about the yard of bricks and kissing the bricks and how you know, he's building up to this big drama, And I'm like looking at him. I went, you know, I kissed a brick once. And he said, really? I said, yeah, a guy threw it at me. And and then he just like does it. He looks at me blank, and Calvin goes, you'll get used to it.
Yeah. You'll be fine. Oh, we've got a couple more here. We got one from Mike Johnson in an interview. Another great one. Usually the car with the best track position wins the race. No shit. Thanks, Mike. We appreciate that one.
Oh, man.
All right, let's see. And this, I don't know, there's no attribution for this. This almost sounds like a Dorseyism, but I'm not sure this
I think
came
it's contagious.
welcome to the Sweaty Balls 250, presented by Performance Drink.
That's Rick Ratajczak all the way.
All right, if you ain't sipping, you'll be dripping. good Lord. Brother, I not only do I look forward to sitting down and doing a part two to talk more about your racing career, also moving into race official work that you do, but honestly, I don't know if anyone has had more fun for more years in racing than you, Dorse. And just as one, my first ever TV appearance was with you in World Challenge when you guys kind enough to invite me into the booth. And you've always taken such great care of the sport, but also been so kind even to idiots like me trying to come up in your footsteps.
You know, it's the funniest thing is that, you know, I think back to 71 and the technology of that car, and then you think about the last professional car I drove, you know, in honesty, you know, it was the Audi R8 LMP1 car, and having driven all those different configurations and different technologies of what happened to the car and what's happened during that time from 71 to 2001, you know, that, and but you're the same guy inside, you know. Yeah. The body's abuse is starting to show, but, you know, I still, for some reason, and you know, when I ran the GT, the Daytona prototype car a couple years ago, we only did like five races, but by the fourth or fifth race, I was starting to want to get back doing that again, you know, and I was starting to take more risks than I need to be taking. And the physical aspects are too great. You know, you can't do at 65 what you did at 18. It's just not going to happen. Yeah, but the mind still thinks you can, which gets you in trouble sometimes, you know. but it is, the neatest thing is that the old stuff is so clear in my mind still that, you know, I can still work on those cars. I mean, people look at this, they don't know how to do it. I really think the worst thing that's happened to racing, and I know you can't stop technology, but I really think the driver aid systems and the balance of performance and everything happened to be identical has really ruined what used to be, you know, a different way of approaching the same thing. I mean, now the computer does all the work and the driver doesn't have to do the trickery you were talking about with the autocross. I mean, you can't do that to one of these current cars because it won't let you. It fixes it before you break it, you know, and they don't break anymore. And you couldn't drive a car in a 24 hours or a Daytona or 12 hours Sebring at the level you can drive them now. You can just drive as hard as your body will let you drive now. You know, before you wouldn't last 3 hours if you did that to the car, you know. So they've taken, the car has been engineered to take any abuse you can hand it, you know, but the body hasn't.
Well, brother, thank you, and I'll look forward to us finding some more time.
Oh, man, absolutely. Anytime.
And those were Dorseyisms. Thanks again to Dorse for having a fun little walk through this ever-compiling list, and maybe we need to get World Challenge drivers to start writing down some of the things he's saying in drivers' meetings, because I'm sure there are some classics since we don't get Dorse on TV like we used to. All right, off to a little bit more podcast production on my end. I'm Marshall Pruitt. This is the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. Thanks for listening.